If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of the Kinda Funny XCast, your home for all things Xbox here at Kinda Funny. Of course, I'm one of your hosts, Snowbike Mike, and today I am joined by my dude, the greatest guy in video games, Mr. Paris Lilly. Paris, welcome back for another week of the XCast. How are you, my guy?
I'm doing okay, man. I will say off the top, I miss Gary. I truly legitimately miss Gary. I know he's a man about town. He is super busy. This is why he has not been here recently. But I miss him taking the jabs at me. Yes. I actually saw him take a jab at me on Threads and didn't even tag me. So I got to talk to him about that one.
Well, I'm glad that he's still taking jabs at you. And yes, you and I both miss him. Of course, Barrett running the ones and twos. We all miss him here at Kinda Funny. And I know a lot of the audience, of course, still has questions. They miss him a lot. And dear audience members, Kinda Funny best friends, yes, we all miss Gary. He is very busy in the Hollywood world working his real job. He will return soon enough. But right now, he is very busy. So we will give him his space. We'll let him be creative. And he'll come back when he's ready to rock and roll.
I heard he was upset that I also stole the shaved head look. And with three of us on the show, you know, I think it was a little bit too much for him.
A lot of shaved heads is right. But Paris, how have you been other than that this week? What's going on in your world? Tell me all about it.
You know, I'm good overall, but when we talk from an industry standpoint, man, just seeing all these layoffs, it's just brutal. Like, as of us about to record this, EA just announced, 670 more people getting laid off. PlayStation, you know, did it the day before. It's brutal, man. It is just absolutely brutal, and it just does not seem like it's going to stop anytime soon.
Our hearts go out to those who are affected by the job losses. We think about all those creative and talented human beings that have to battle this all the time. It really sucks, yeah. Paris is right, and it sucks to every single day open up IGN or, you know, gamesindustry.biz and see these layoffs. It really, really does suck. But you know what doesn't suck, Paris? Getting to spend some time with you talking some video games. And that's what we're going to try to do today. Of course, each and every week, we're bringing you the Xbox news you need to know about. We're bringing the commentary and the conversations and bringing some fun into your weekly lives. And that's what we're all about. Don't forget the Kinda Funny XCast post each and every Thursday at 6 a.m. West Coast, Best Coast time on youtube.com/KindaFunnyGames. And of course, on patreon.com/KindaFunny, where you can become a Kinda Funny member to get the very best of Kinda Funny. If you'd like to get our shows ad-free, watch them live as we record them, or get our daily exclusive show, Gregway, you can go support us over on Patreon and now on YouTube by becoming a member over there. Don't forget, you can also become a Patreon member, just like our friends Carl Jacobs, Streaking Ain't Easy, and Delaney Twining. Thank you so much for your support. This week, the Kinda Funny XCast is sponsored by Avatar Braving the Elements and Kinda Funny Games Showdown. We'll tell you all about that in just a little bit. Paris, let's jump into the news. It has been a fun couple of weeks. It's been a wild start to 2024. We have now laid out the groundwork. We've gotten past the podcast. We now have the official four games and dates on those four games coming to other platforms. So no more speculating, no more guessing. We can talk about it right here. And I want to give the official news to all the Xbox fans out there so they know what games are coming out there. And maybe if they have friends on other platforms, they can join them on these four games. So here are the official games making a move to other platforms. Pentiment is coming February 22nd to PlayStation 4 and 5 and Nintendo Switch. Hi-Fi Rush is coming to PlayStation 5 on March 19th. Grounded is coming to PlayStation 4 and 5, plus Nintendo Switch on April 16th, and Sea of Thieves is coming to PlayStation 5 on April 30th. Here's some fun facts for you, Pears, for some of these games. Grounded has 20 million players, plus will offer crossplay with Xbox, PC, PlayStation, and Switch. So congratulations to the team over at Obsidian for a really cool achievement of 20 million players. And now the opportunity to let more people into the backyard. We always talk about that. I think that's really rad. And one more fun fact for you. 35 million players on Sea of Thieves. That will offer crossplay with PlayStation, Xbox, and PC when you can go set sail on the high seas. Pretty cool stuff, Paris. The four games now revealed. We know what they are. We know the dates. We've talked about it before. I know your thoughts on it. But now what do you feel now that we got the clear, this is the message, this is what's happening?
I mean, it really just comes down to, all right, now we know. Now we know what the four games are. We know when they're going to come out. Obviously, we don't need to retread anything from the past couple weeks of speculation and obviously the Xbox podcast that the leadership team did. I mean, you know, good. I hope people on PlayStation and Switch go play these games. That would probably be my biggest thing. Like, I'll never forget back in 2021 when I got to talk to some of the guys from Obsidian that were on the Grounded team. It's when I was doing the Showcase Extended. And 17 people made that game. And to see where it started from to where it is today, like you said, 20 million people are playing it. And now the opportunity for even more people to go play a game like that, you know, kudos to that team. You know, I'm excited for that team. I think Sea of Thieves ultimately is going to be the biggest winner out of all of this, being that live service game, being that pirate fantasy game. I guess one question I didn't get out of this, which just naturally I assume is a part of this, any of the expansions and things that Sea of Thieves have had over the years would be available on this to people on PlayStation. I just naturally assume it is. But going by that, being able to try out some of that content in there and then throwing in the crossplay with everything. So now Xbox players, PC players, PlayStation players, they all get to go play together. I mean, you know, that's a win. I mean, we get all the other stuff that we've talked about the past few weeks, but at the end of the day, it's about us playing games and having fun, and the more people, the merrier, I say.
I'm right there with you, Paris. You know, we've talked about our initial thoughts and feelings of the business standpoint, but when we're talking about gamers playing games, this is a big win, right? I am so excited for a game like Sea of Thieves to go out to a wider audience, right? Yes. We talk about 35 million players between Xbox and PC, and gosh darn it, that's a great game. You know, Rare and the team over there, we've talked with Mike and Joe, and they have done some incredible stuff with their team, adding on, you know, just quality of life improvements, bug fixes, this life that we've seen on this, plus all of the add-ons of DLC, right? We're talking about a pirate's life with the Disney collab. You got Monkey Island. I mean, there are some really cool pieces that I can't wait for others to experience like you and I have. And with crossplay being integrated right off the bat with Sea of Thieves and Grounded, that's a big win, right? Because now, if you got a family member that's got a Switch, if they got kids on a PlayStation, everybody's jumping in. And I think that's where we're going to see the big win. We talk about these games as a service being red hot right now, especially with Helldivers. You know, games as a service, I always have these conversations with my friends. There's a blurred line. You know what I mean? There's so many things that you can call live service game, games as a service. They're all online. They're all vying for your attention. But I think when you have crossplay and the largest player base possible, you always win. In a situation like Grounded, like you said, made by 13 people, Obsidian, doing a passion project that I'm sure all of us probably looked at, this survival crafting game where, you know, it's Honey, I Shrunk the Kids with the kids in the backyard. A lot of us were probably like, I don't know about this, but it turned out to be a big win, and it found a player base with 20 million players. Now it gets to go to an even larger audience. That number is going to skyrocket, and that's what I'm excited about. I am interested in the price tag always, Paris. I'm interested into the attach rate. I think a lot of us on the Xbox side of things get really blessed and lucky with Game Pass, right, where you pay that $15 a month, and attaching onto a game or jumping in and out of certain titles and trying them is so easy, as opposed to, man, this game is $20, this game is $40, this game is $60 or $70, and I don't know if I can convince four of my friends to jump on. I think that will be the big question for me, is when we see the final price tags, you look at them on the marketplaces of Switch and PlayStation, How much love are they getting? Is there excitement? Because yeah. You and I could beat the drum all day for these games, but will they get the players attaching to them? I truly hope they do.
I do too, in this sense. Like, again, let's bring up Pentiment as an example. I know at first glance, because I think we all thought that when it first came out back in 2022, like, really? What is this? But if you take the time and actually sit and get into it, it is one of the best murder mystery games that you could possibly play. It's vastly underrated in that aspect, in my opinion. So maybe this will be an opportunity for more people to go out and try it and see the brilliance of what that story actually is. And we all know about Hi-Fi Rush. I think we all of us just... it's a consensus. That's just a fantastic game, period, point blank. So I've always said... because it is coming to Switch at the same time too, right?
I have Hi-Fi Rush only on PlayStation 5.
Yeah, that's what I thought. It's only on PlayStation 5. So maybe graphically it's doing a little more than the Switch can handle. That's just my guess at this point. But you know, PlayStation people that get to check that out, great. But if and or when it eventually comes to Switch or Switch 2, I think that game's perfect for the handheld experience. So I definitely hope people can check it out there as well.
Yeah, I'm right there with you, Paris. I was actually a little surprised we didn't say Hi-Fi Rush on the Nintendo Switch. That was a head-scratcher to me of, like, you know, I saw the data mines that everybody was talking about of the T-shirts and all of that. But it is surprising to me that not all four are coming to both of those ecosystems. I'm sure, like you said, maybe it's the hardware. We've seen the Nintendo Switch try to leverage the cloud and bringing you bigger and badder games onto that, but having to leverage that cloud aspect to it. It is surprising that Hi-Fi Rush is not on that. And also Sea of Thieves. I think Sea of Thieves would be an instant win on the Switch, but it is always online, so you're probably going to be bouncing with some connectivity issues on that Nintendo Switch. So I wonder what it is. But big wins regardless. I am excited for more gamers to play these. I think there's really some awesome stories to be told from the developer side, from Grounded and Sea of Thieves, like you said. Of course, Tango Gameworks with Hi-Fi Rush and how big of a hit that was. And then Pentiment as well. Just kind of crash landing into all of our laps going, man, you know what? This was a ton of fun. So kudos to everybody out there. Congratulations. Excited for the marketing beats as well, Paris. I think that will be fun on how you market these games, what they look like on the storefront. I'm excited on all aspects of this. I think it's going to be very cool moving forward, which will be a great time. Paris?
Agreed.
Let's talk about another great time. You want to talk to me about Final Fantasy, and that's where I kind of want to park the bus and have a quick conversation because, you know, I think the audience here at Kinda Funny knows that I have gone on a big journey through Kingdom Hearts into now Final Fantasy VII for the first ever time, and we're all very excited about next week Final Fantasy Rebirth coming out, but it's still missing over here on Team Green, and not even Final Fantasy Remake after all these years is over here. And I know you got some thoughts on that, and I want to talk about that with you about what's missing, but right after a word from our sponsors.
This episode's brought to you by Avatar Braving the Elements. We know you love talking about all things TV, film, and pop culture with us, so there's another podcast that we think you're going to enjoy. It's called Avatar Braving the Elements, and it's Nickelodeon's official companion podcast to Avatar The Last Airbender. Y'all already know Barrett loves Avatar. He thinks it's one of the best coming-of-age heroes journeys out there that perfectly blends enticing action, great comedy, and social commentary that's all backed by great art style and an iconic soundtrack. Each week, host Janet Varney, the voice of Korra, and Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko, rewatch every episode of The Last Airbender. They're joined by special guests like the cast, superfans, and even the creators of Avatar, Michael DiMartino and Brian Konitzko, for a deep dive and behind-the-scenes look into the Avatarverse you can't get anywhere else. Whether you're a longtime bender or new to the series, jump into the epic world of Avatar with Avatar Braving the Elements. Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
Y'all need to check out Kinda Funny Game Showdown, our weekly video game trivia game show. You can watch live on YouTube or on Twitch every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time. But now, thanks to popular demand, Kinda Funny Game Showdown is available on podcast services. Whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or anywhere else, please subscribe and rate the show 5 stars. It really helps us get Kinda Funny out there, and we couldn't thank you enough. We aim to make this a video-only show, so many of the games will be best enjoyed watching on YouTube. But despite that, that enough of you guys asked for audio versions, so we're making that happen anyways. Of course, that also means if you have the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon, you will now also get the audio version of the show ad-free. No matter how you're watching or listening to Kinda Funny Game Showdown, thank you. And if you haven't checked it out yet, there is no better time than now. We're already many episodes into the show, so you can catch up now on YouTube or the brand new podcast version of the show. If you love what we do, please get the Kinda Funny membership on Patreon or on YouTube to get the show ad-free. If you just want to support us for free, please subscribe and rate Kinda Funny Game Showdown on your favorite podcast service now.
All right, everybody, welcome back, Paris. Let's talk about it. Final Fantasy VII, I know you got something on your mind. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, absolutely. First and foremost, I'd like to say when I was up at the studio a few weeks ago, I got to spend the day with you on your journey
yes.
to Final Fantasy VII Remake. So that was a lot of fun. But the thing I wanted to talk about, because, you know, I like to pay attention to what the community is saying. And, you know, some people may or may not be tagging me in certain things and being very vocal at me about it. You know, obviously, I know Kinda Funny officially has reviewed Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I got a chance to also play it as well. Enjoy it. It's fantastic. And this is coming from a guy who's not really been into Final Fantasy. It pulled me in. And then, like, when I got to play with you, going back playing Remake, stuff like that, I'm like, okay, I get it now. This is really freaking cool. This is a great series. I understand why it's so beloved by so many people and people are so excited for it. But then that brings up the problem. You can only play it on PlayStation 5.
Yep.
And the Xbox community was pretty vocal about that this week, that how bummed out they were that this great game, if they don't have a PlayStation or a PC, by the way, you can't play this game. I mean, if you don't have an Xbox or a PC is what I'm saying, but you can't play this game. Yeah, and it sucks. Just flat out, it sucks. And to your point, Remake isn't even on Xbox right now. And my thing just comes to this. It is coming from a third-party publisher. We obviously see everything that's going on in the industry right now. I hope this is the last time we see something like this, in the sense that we got to have these games, especially the third-party ones that I'm talking about specifically, we got to have them on every platform that you possibly can. It's almost criminal that a game this good that is just getting universal 10 out of 10 praises across the board, right? Can only be played on one platform right now. And you have a section of the gaming audience that's on the outside looking in. And they're hoping that maybe in May or June, it'll come to PC and eventually come to Xbox. We got to stop doing that. We just simply do. When I see people talking about that online, I'm nodding my head. I go, yes, I agree. It 100% should be on Xbox right now. I understand there's timed exclusivity things. You pay for this, you pay for that. We got to stop doing it. And I know that Xbox last year has started having a better working agreement with Square Enix. And now we're going to start seeing more Square games come to the Xbox platform. Like even during Developer Direct, I'm blank. What is it? Not Chrono Trigger. What the hell am I thinking of?
The game they showed the developer. We have the Mana game.
Visions of Mana.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you. That game as an example. But we need a big AAA Final Fantasy VII remake and Rebirth should be on Xbox. I am hoping that Xbox is working with Square to get that on the platform as soon as possible. And I hope moving forward, we don't see things like this. There should not be Capcom games. I believe this next Monster Hunter is not on Xbox. There's something else that's not coming to Xbox. We're seeing more and more. Shouldn't say seeing more and more of this. It's been kind of consistent where we're seeing major games that are third party not showing up on the Xbox platform. I know Phil has talked about this in the past. Like I said, I just hope, especially with the current state of the gaming industry right now, that this practice goes away. I mean, even if you go back into earlier in this generation, before Xbox acquired Bethesda, I mean, Ghostwire Tokyo and Deathloop were exclusive to one platform where you could not play them on Xbox for a full year. And then they eventually came. And this is when Bethesda was third party. We don't need that anymore. We really don't. So I hope, look, I understand the arguments we've had the past couple of weeks about first party stuff and multi-platform. Forget that for a second. I'm talking strictly third party. I'm talking your Square Enixes, your EAs, your Ubisofts, 2Ks of the world that should be putting games on all platforms. We this whole timed exclusivity paid stuff has to stop. I think What was the infamous one Xbox did? It was Tomb Raider. Yeah. They did that. Again, no, we just simply have to stop doing that. I hope as we move forward with the rest of this generation and as we go into the next one, whatever multi-platform stuff we'll see, experimentation is fine. But these third-party games, they just got to be everywhere. It is, nobody should be deprived of playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth just because they don't have a PlayStation.
One quick correction. Monster Hunter Wild is going to be coming to the Xbox Series X and S.
Okay. I just remember I knew people were upset. Like, hey, there's other games not coming to Xbox. Why isn't this coming to Xbox? I couldn't remember what it was.
I imagine, specifically when it comes to the Final Fantasy VII now trilogy, that there is some deal that it is not allowed to come to other platforms until all three are out. That is my guesstimation. When Remake came out, we were guessing like, okay, like it's just coming on PlayStation 4 at the time. Maybe it's got a year exclusivity, and then it still never came to other platforms. And then now that Rebirth's out, we still hear nothing about Remake. I think I had guessed around the time that Rebirth was officially announced and we got that first trailer. I think that's when I first guessed of like, they must have some sort of exclusivity deal during the release of this entire trilogy, which is insane. And I agree with you, Paris. And then I also find it interesting that 16 didn't launch on Xbox platforms either when 15 did. So I don't know what PlayStation and Square, like what deals they made years ago that are still in place, but it is a weird one.
Yeah, it is. And what you just said, if it ultimately comes down to that you won't see any of those games until the whole trilogy is out, that just hurts the industry, man. That just hurts gamers as a whole. Because what if I can't afford to go buy a PlayStation because I already bought an Xbox? Or I invested $2,000 into a gaming PC thinking I could play the games there and then you can't. Doesn't make sense to me. And to your point, this is probably legacy deals or whatever, but I would hope moving forward we see less and less, if not this at all anymore, because we shouldn't be gatekeeping third-party games from any platform.
I'm right there with you, Paris. And also, I want to take the other side of like, it is interesting. I think it's got to hurt developers as well, because I look at a game like Foamstars that just came out, right, on PlayStation, mixed review, sitting at like 6 out of 10 on IGN. But that is a game that needs a large player base. It's a games as a service, whatever you want to call it, that should have as many eyes on it, as many hands on the controllers as possible. And that only being on PlayStation, to me, goes, okay, well, this is going to come and go so fast that anyone else out there will never get the chance to take it because the servers will probably be shut down. Exactly. Maybe this team won't make that game anymore. But there's a lot of moments where you kind of scratch your head at not even the biggest titles, but smaller titles going, why would you do that? That's got to go everywhere for the supports. But yeah, Paris, we've talked about Final Fantasy, and as someone who has now just experienced Final Fantasy VII for the first ever time over on PlayStation, it is baffling to me that we have sat here wondering when will Remake come? Will it ever? And it doesn't feel like it will, Paris. It's crazy, like Baird just said, maybe at the end of the trilogy. That is so long to wait. Is wild to think about.
We're talking PlayStation 6 and Xbox Series Y at that point. That's crazy.
Yeah. I mean,
you know,
the positive right now is Xbox fans now have Final Fantasy 14, the big MMO.
Yeah.
That's now going into beta right now on your Xbox console. That's great. Bear brought up 15. Very interested about 16 as well. Bear brought up of like, why is it 16 not over here? There is still a major disconnect on certain titles from the third-party side, Paris, that you brought up that aren't coming to certain platforms, especially here on the Xbox side. I think Xbox and Phil have made a good charge and a good first step to getting more Japanese-specific titles over here, but it does seem like there's a number of titles still missing there, Paris. And I agree with you. I do think that's got to end. It's funny when we talked about Xbox last week of sharing those titles and getting people on the other side interested in the games you make. That's what Final Fantasy is doing to me. Sure, I had to go over there to play it, but now I play it and I go, oh, I'm interested. I've never played your games. I would play more of these, and it would get me going if it was here on the Xbox platform even faster, especially since I'm an Xbox owner.
Yeah, 100%. And like I said before, we're seeing what the current state of the industry is. So again, maybe these are just legacy deals or whatever, but I can't imagine any third party publisher saying, well, I'm only going to put my game on this one platform when you're excluding tens of millions of other players that you potentially could be buying and playing your game. That just doesn't make sense to me.
I mean, it's got to be big deals, right? It's got to be history and lineage with each other's companies. But it is odd over the decades that it hasn't shifted and changed, Paris.
Yeah.
And especially with a game like this, it is too bad and disheartening for the Xbox community that will have to look on the other side and go, man, am I supposed to be over there? Especially when we talk about, you know, new games coming over to PlayStation, and you kind of add that fire to the fuel of, should I be over there and expect you to put games over there and I can just be playing the games like this that I want? Am I missing out? Am I made the wrong decision, Paris? I don't know what is the move for filling them, but like you said, it clearly they had talks with Square Enix. They're getting in a better relationship, and you would hope moving forward you wouldn't miss out on this. But like a game like Final Fantasy 17, let's say in the future, whatever's next, you would hope is coming over here to Xbox.
Right, day and date. Yeah, you would hope so.
Paris, you know, I think of Foam Stars in particular because that's a recent one. I'm like, man, wish that game was over here. Me and my buddies would have played that for a night and had some fun. But, you know, it's a head-scratcher. I'm excited for Rebirth. Do you want to share any thoughts on Rebirth that you can share with all of us? I know the reviews have gone live. Like you said, everybody's excited. I'm jazzed up. I know it's not on Xbox, and we're not twisting the knife with our community, but we do love celebrating good games. And I'll tell you what, this Final Fantasy remake, that's a good game, Paris. And I loved playing through it. I can't wait for Rebirth. What can you tell me to get me excited about this?
Yeah, like say I was a part of that review, you know, with Ten and Blessing and all of them, when they talked about it, I would have been a high 4 out of 5, almost 5 out of 5, probably where I would have landed. I definitely was emotionally invested into that story way more than I ever thought I would be. Again, coming into this, had played the original Final Fantasy VII back in the 90s and really had not touched it or played it since. But to come in here with the new, more action combat versus just the old, you know, just turn-based stuff really hooked me into that. Some of the boss battles were fantastic. Like I said, that story, I was invested. I wanted to know what was going on. Now, the open world itself was serviceable. Could it have been a little bit better? Sure. But I had fun with it. Riding the chocobos, stuff like that. So the side mission things you were able to do, I thought it was great. Some of the different combinations that you could put together of the different weapons and powers that you're having. I had a blast with it. I really did. Graphically, I mean, it's, again, stunner. Looks great. I was like, I'm playing it halfway through. I was like, okay, I get it. I get where everybody likes this. that was what I would say. I was like, I get where everybody likes this. I'm in. I definitely want to know where this goes next. I'll put it that way.
Tell me really quick about the open world. You talk about serviceable. I think that's always fun when we have these conversations of these big, meaty open world games that are giving you so many hours of content, trying to jam-pack so much in, and a lot of it is very repetitive. Sometimes it's just surface level, and you go, ooh, you got to go a little bit more than that, or it's just like, this stinks. What is it about that makes it serviceable, and what could they have done better?
I mean, I just felt like some of the traversal was just there to say, hey, we have this big open world versus actually being necessary to do so. To your point, I think there was, again, it was just big to be big. So there was some repetition in there that I thought wasn't necessarily needed. I mean, obviously traveling to Chocobo, stuff like that was fun to do. Don't get me wrong. You would have some of these random encounters, but they started to be like, okay, I've already done this before. Okay, I've already done that before. And it was not a huge, like, taking me out of the game moment. It was just having played so many open world games, you kind of get the formula, and this just kind of felt standard for that. You know what I mean? This wasn't doing anything new in the open world genre. Let's put it that way. It was just like, yep, been there, done that. Been doing this for the past 10 years.
It is a sequel, meaning it's the second one. And, you know, I know it's, you know, this is a whole mumbo jumbo of 7 and the remake and onward of what they're doing. But it is the sequel. It is the middle of a trilogy. How do you think they handled that? Did they handle that well? It's tough to be kind of the middle child here.
Here's what I think they did great. For someone like me, I didn't know what the hell was going on. You're basically replaying part of Remake at the beginning of Rebirth. So that got me. I'm like, oh, so I kind of understood the motivations of characters and what was going on. And as the story went along, I'm like, all right, now I get it. And you go from there. So it was funny when I was up there going back playing Remake with you, I knew all those characters. I was like, oh, yeah, I already knew. I already knew what was up, what they were doing. And I was like, ooh, well, I don't want to spoil anything, but I was like, I know what he's going to do later. You know, like stuff like that, because they replayed it, you know, in the Rebirth. So I thought they did a great job with that. I think they did anybody can just walk into this, you know, having not played Remake and still get enough of the story that they'll be able to enjoy it.
I think that's the tough part as well. Being number two in the series, being the newest one, there's always that, hey, do I have to play the first one? Can I just jump in? And I know a lot of people get caught up on that of like, well, of course you got to play the first one. You can't just jump in. You're going to be confused. But I do think there are a number of games that do it well of like, no, I think you can get by. You're going to understand. Yeah. It's tough to give 25 to 40 hours like I just did to play that one to get caught up for this one. So that's awesome to hear that. Did it leave you wanting more? Are you ready for 100%. Three now?
Because that's absolutely the goal. Yeah, sign me up. I'm there day one.
Oh, my gosh.
And if you would have asked me this probably a month ago, I'd have been like, no, what are you talking about? Final Fantasy? I'm not playing that. No, I'm in. They got me.
Well, here's the...
Which again, to bring this full circle,
yep.
This is why it sucks that it's not on Xbox.
I was just going to tell you, Paris.
Because I'm going to tell you right now, the comment section is going to be, man, they just spent 15 minutes talking about a game we can't even play. Yep. They're going to say it. But they're right.
That's what I was just going to say to you, Paris. We're in front of the green wall. And the issue is Xbox users now miss out on another Game of the Year contender. Another big one. Just like last year when we talked about Baldur's Gate 3. And yes, it did come. It took some time. But like, here we are again, looking around going, why are we missing this? What is going on here? Why can't we get this done? Especially from a third party developer, as you brought up during this conversation. So
yeah.
I think a lot of Xbox fans should be asking why and when will this change, right? I think a lot of people clearly understand maybe the history and the deals, but when will it change? And also you see Xbox on the other side, sure they're in third place, but you look at a title like Call of Duty, they could easily pull that away from everyone and say, no, it's not there, but they understand that it's got to go everywhere. It's that big of a deal. Why can't Final Fantasy be the same way?
Hey, the FTC and the CMA made damn sure they wouldn't pull it. Call of Duty.
They said, no, you're not doing that, is right.
But to your point, anyone obviously watching, listening to this, that's clearly huge fans of Xbox and is bummed out about this news, I would take some solace in the fact that last year you saw Phil being very hands-on about establishing that relationship with Square Enix moving forward, so that this does not continue to happen. I mean, legacy deals are legacy deals. Probably not much you can do about that, but anything moving forward, again, going to what we were talking about that they showed in the developer direct a few weeks ago, take that as a good sign that we'll see more of these Square Enix games come day and date to Xbox, and hopefully, you know, with these other third-party publishers, you know, we'll get the same.
Yep. I mean, Square Enix, Kojima as well. That's been a nice piece right there with that partnership. I am worried of, you know, Sony and Herman Holtz saying we backed up the Brinks truck for Kojima to make his dream project. And it's like, oh, man, that's not coming to Xbox. That's not going to be good. But it looks like a bright, better future for sure. And you know what? Talking about future, Paris, let's just keep the future talk going. Because the NCAA and EA are going to pay them kids. And that's what it's all about. But I want to talk to you about, is the payment enough? And what your thoughts are on it? Because we finally got the details on the NIL deal that will have the kids and NCAA 25 come together. So this is coming from ESPN. For over 11,000 college football players, Thursday will be the first chance to opt in to the EA Sports new college football game, EA Sports College Football 25, and get paid for it. EA Sports has finalized its name, image, and likeness plan, and it will begin opt-in process. Up to 85 players per school will initially appear on the rosters game, which comes out this summer. Now here's the deal. All athletes who opt in to have their name, image, and likeness appear in will eventually receive $600 plus a copy of the game that's typically valued at $70. Athletes would remain in the game for their entire careers but could opt out of future editions if they choose. athletes who remain in the game for multiple years will be paid annually, and players who transfer will continue to be compensated as long as they are on the roster. Now, I have some more fun details to talk about, but I do want to talk about that $600 plus a free copy of the game. I think a big number we should probably also remember here, 11,000 student athletes, 132 teams. So, you know, let's make sure we're adding up all the numbers here. But what do you think about that, Paris? Is it enough?
No. And here's why. Shedeur Sanders is not opting in for this for $600 yes, and course. A free copy of the game, because he makes way more money via the NIL to not do so. Now, clearly, some of your lower tier players of the 11,000 that you're doing, hey, $600 is $600. Screw it. Do it. But your top tier college players, no, there's no way they would do that. Like, it was funny. I was watching Shannon Sharpe's podcast, Club Shay Shay. He had Johnny Manziel on last week. And because I've always been fascinated with Johnny football. So, you know, just to hear him be pretty honest and direct about, you know, his mistakes that he had through his career. But the point that he did make about if he was playing now with the NIL, he goes, the bidding would start at $10
million. Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
It would start at $10 million for him. So when you think about these top players now.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
No freaking way. They're going to look at that and go, no thanks. No thanks. You can have Colorado in there and he'll just have the two on the jersey, but not my name, because you're not using my likeness. I will license my likeness out to the highest bidder, and it ain't going to be for $600. That's for sure.
Yeah, it will be. I think, like you said, right, if you were a low tier school player for, you know, quarterback number two or whatever, you're probably taking $600 in the copy. That's awesome. You get to be in the game. You'll show it to all your friends and family. You can say, I got a paycheck for being in a video game. That's cool. That's awesome. But yeah, there will be a much bigger discussion when it comes to the big names and how they go on those deals. Because yeah, Paris, if you're Shedeur over in Colorado, you're asking for probably millions is right. And how does that work? I cannot wait to see those deals, Paris. That's gotta be crazy money.
Yeah. Like even, I know this isn't football, but let's just say they had a NCAA basketball game. Bronny, you really think Bronny's taking $600? You know, the known players, like, again, you just take it to last year, the Caleb Williams of the world. There's no way.
Yeah.
It is not, because to your point, it's for, like you said, it's for the life of the game, but I guess they could opt out at some point. Why even opt in at the first place? Because your name's going to be more valuable used elsewhere than in that game for $600.
Let's talk about some of the details. So, details to note for you about College Football 25. All 134 FPS schools are in, even Notre Dame, which was a holdout for a little bit. They will have the 12-game playoff, all bowl games, and they'll have Dynasty Mode and Road to Glory in the game, plus more, but that's the details they shared. They will have NIL, transfer portal, conference reassignments, stadium sounds, uniforms, and so much more in the game that you can expect. There will be no coaches, Paris Lilly, in year one, and no FCS schools in year one. So, of course, you talk about Shedeur Sanders, Coach Primetime, I'm sure is asking for a mega check if you're trying to put him in the video game, you know? There will also be more than 100 additional NIL opportunities for athletes to work with EA Sports. These could include social media posts, on-campus promotions, advertisements, or even being on the game's cover. Of course, that's a big deal. I also like that they're going to other sports like women's basketball. They'll go to soccer. They're willing to do deals with everyone to get the promotion up, and I'm sure they would love to call up Caitlin Clark and have her promote the game. I'm sure they're calling everybody up. But no matter who you are, they're going to call you up to probably promote this game. Also on Thursday, ESPN College Game Day analyst Kirk Herbstreit and broadcaster Chris Fowler announced that they're in the game, so you're going to have some iconic voices in there. One of the team members said that individual players will not have face scans for at least the first year, since the logistics of attempting this with over 11,000 athletes would be very difficult. But EA Sports is working with schools and rosters for photos to create representative likenesses of each player. Here's a fun one for you. If a player chooses to not be in the game, Holt said EA Sports will create a generic avatar based on the traditional strength or weakness of the position over the past decade for the school. Now get this, gamers will not be allowed to create that player in the game. So if I hold out, you can't make yourself in the game, Paris, which I found very, very interesting.
Interesting. Yeah.
So it says gamers will be allowed to create their own players, but the game will not allow an opted out player to create and insert themselves into the game. We won't be able to, they want to talk about it quite yet, but they're going to somehow prevent you from putting yourself in, which I found very interesting. Because I got a pretty generic name, Paris. And like,
Worry. Stewie Sanders, quarterback, Colorado, is coming.
Mikey Howard's coming in, is right. Yeah. I thought that was really funny of like, yeah, what do you do with people that are opting out? Well, you're not giving them the check. You're not putting them in the game officially. But yeah, of course, I can just create myself and I'm in there. But I guess Paris wouldn't have me. So what's the big deal if I put just myself in there? Why are they not letting the kids just create themselves? That's very interesting. I find that very odd. And how do you police that, right? How do you, if somebody's got such a basic name and he is the left guard for some school, how do you know that he's doing that, you know?
What a fun one. I think they're saying that, but to your point, if I create and again, I just keep picking on Shador, but if I create a character called S. Sanders, give him the same number, give him all the stats that Shador would probably have, and he's the quarterback of Colorado, I know who he is, and I'm the one playing it. I don't know. That's a weird one. I think maybe they're saying it to cover themselves.
Yes.
But to your point, I don't know how they're policing it. But I will say, going back to everything that you just talked about with the game itself, heck yeah. Heck yeah, man. I can't wait to play it. I'm going to love that. That's the college experience. I mean, the fact they even have the NIL in there is wild to me. So I'm curious how that's going to go down. But to have all the teams in there to do the 12-team playoff, I mean, just the career mode stuff that we'll be able to do. And then we'll probably have to stream like playing online or something, like Florida State against whoever you want to be in the game. You know what I mean? It'll be a lot of fun. I miss NCAA. I used to love that series back in the day. So I'm very happy that it's coming back. So really looking forward to it.
It was the best of times, Paris. It was a very special thing to celebrate. Of course, college football Saturday, having college football and Madden. And they were also both talking to each other, which was very cool, of like doing the Road to Glory and then having your player drafted and then somehow carrying him over to Madden, and how EA was able to figure that out so long ago. And now you think here they're poised to do that, right? This will be, they say year one is laying the groundwork and getting the foundation out, which is going to be key. But year two, year three, what they build off of this, if this is successful and works, I can't wait to see. But I think paying them kids is step one. Paying them correctly is another big step. Yeah. But also, what if it doesn't work, Paris? Does this team really think that they have it down where it's going to work? What if these kids start asking for all the money in the world and it's just not there? Will it work, Paris?
It very well could. And to your point, I think they are going to ask for a lot of money. Like you brought up the opportunity to do some social media opportunities, the cover athlete. So there's going to be other avenues for them to be compensated and get some of these kids to agree to buy in, to be in the game itself. And maybe it's a thing of, I'm in the game for the first 2 years and then you have to take me out via, you know, DLC update or something like that. But I hope we get a lot of these college players to opt in to have their likenesses in the game so you can kind of simulate that and play it. But I just would not expect the top tier players to do so, because financially, I just don't think it'll make sense for them.
Yeah, it'll be very interesting to see what is the buy-in. What's the percentage, right? Are we talking 95% of college athletes say yes to this? Is it the 5% of who are the very tippy top saying no, let's talk big dollars and stuff like that? I mean, you know, someone's going to be the cover athlete. They're getting a big mega bucks on that one. They're definitely College Game Day football. Saturday is coming to your home state, and you're going to be out there parading the game around, throwing out free copies. That's happening for sure. So there's way to pay them, but how much will they pay? What is the dollar amount that they finally say no to? That's where I want to be in the boardroom of, like, who is that person, yeah, and when do they say, no, that's way too much money? Because if we break down, what was it, like 85 people per team times 134 teams, and then you times that by $600, it's like $6 million or $11 million. It's like a lot of money to pay
But, you know, I am curious now that I'm thinking about Madden as an example in the NFL Player Association. All the NFL players have to be getting some compensation for their likeness being in the game. So I'm wondering what that agreement looks like at the NFL level that they're being paid. But college obviously doesn't have like a players union, so it is more individual when it comes to that. So I don't know. Like I said, I'm going to be very fascinated to see that, how all this goes down.
That was a piece that they did bring up of, they have worked with, of course, FIFA, the NHL, and the NFL, and they've worked with player unions before. So yeah, they feel confident in doing this, is what the team from EA said, that they think that this will work and they'll be able to change with the times and still make it work. So it will be fun to see. It will see what the kids and the schools do. But all positive stuff reading this, right? Kids are going to get paid, yep, which is a big deal. You got all 134 teams. That's a big deal. You're sticking with like the standard new age of college football with the 12-team playoff and more. This is shaping up to be a fun one. And Parrish, you know, the traditions, the pageantry, the fight songs, the uniforms, the stadiums, these are all so special. And I think that's what separates it from Madden so much, is we love Madden and we love Sunday's football, but when you go to college football, something's different about it. It's always special here, and I can't wait for them. I want them to succeed. I want us to interview a team member from EA about this, because I have so many questions like you. I need to know all of the details. We'll figure that out come launch when this game finally comes out. But some fun stuff, Pear. So I thought we'd talk about that. I do want to give a final shout out before we start slowly ramping down the show. I don't know if you caught it, but the Age of Empires team had a little celebration this past week. And let me tell you what, nothing makes me smile bigger than talking Age of Empires with you, Paris. And so wanted to give a quick rundown of the New Year, New Age show. They got a nice rundown on the blog post. You can go watch the live stream, which I thought was a ton of fun. But there's some cool details that they wanted to share with all of you. Of course, Age of Empires 2, the definitive edition, is getting new DLC, Victors and Vanquished, coming out March 14th, which blows my mind that Age of Empires 2 is still getting new DLC, and I think it's so rad that they continue to support Age 2, Age 3, Age 4. There's some cool stuff on that. Age of Mythology Retold is coming to Xbox and PC this year, 2024. We got to see three of the character units in an AR space with the game's art director, I thought was really, really cool. So if you want to see Medusa or Cerberus, like, in a cool, like, life-size type vibe with it zooming in on the detail, go check out that stream. I thought it was awesome. Age of Empires Mobile, we got a first look on that, which I'm always down for more Age. The idea of Age of Empires on my phone does kind of break my brain a little bit, because you already did it on controller, so I trust you. But on a phone, I think it's crazy. I'm excited to see. New Year, New Age sale with the games and DLC up to 50% off, I thought was really rad. You'll see Age of Empires 4 getting a big update in Season 7 coming early spring. New Year, New Age login reward for Age of Empires 4 and Age of Empires 3 Definitive Edition free to play now DLC coming end of 2024. So a whole lot of cool Age of Empires stuff for you. Paris, you know, you and I celebrated when they put the game on console and how well they did with the gamepad, aka the controller inputs. I am blown away that this game continues to rock. This whole franchise continues to rock. So shout out to you, World's Edge. What do you think about that, Paris? Any exciting notes from you?
The mobile aspect of this, I think it's a smart move to enter that market and see what kind of traction that you can get. I think to your point, it is just going to come down to the controls and how that's going to work. But we're getting to a point now with smartphones that, you know, like, you can play Resident Evil on the iPhone right now. Yeah. And it looks like you're playing it on the console. That's how powerful you know, these mobile chips are becoming. So bringing a game like Age of Empires to mobile, and if the controls you know, are solid enough and playable enough. Smart move. I'd like to see how this plays out moving forward, and you'll probably see them bring even more of that stuff to mobile as well. But yeah, just the overall announcement is great. God, I forget who said it. Wait, was it Phil Spencer? I think Phil Spencer himself said this, that like Age of Empires on console is one of their most played games on console.
That's
yeah, which is crazy. So yeah, exciting news for sure. Definitely more Age stuff is always good.
You know, I've been re-falling in love with Age since Age 4 came to the console and actually came out on PC, but it's been fun to dip my toe back into not only playing, but also like slowly watching more Age of Empires esports. And Paris, I'll tell you what, Age esports is so much fun to see on the pro level. But yeah, recently, this past week, they've been having a tournament where you don't know who or what player is which. So like you and I are facing off. The commentary team, the audience don't know who is playing who. You just watch them play and the commentary kind of talks about what they're doing. I thought that was really wild idea of like everybody's kind of blindfolded on who's who. Really rad stuff. And it's always fun to watch. It breaks my brain how fast they can play and build units. But Age of Empires, great job, World's Edge over there. We'll talk more about that whenever we get the DLC and onward. But Paris, that will kind of slowly wrap up our show. My final one I want to shout out is Xbox is coming to GDC 2024 here in beautiful, sunny San Francisco. The team will be doing some really cool panels. I want to highlight one, Paris, that I would love to sneak into and listen to is the first 30 years of Warcraft, the making of a game universe. Yeah. Are you kidding me, Paris? I would love to sit there and listen to that. They have some really dope panels all week long to celebrate GDC, the Game Developers Conference here in San Francisco. It's always cool. I'm sure there will be some tech being shown. There's going to be developers celebrated and sharing all of their cool stuff within the industry with their fellow peers. I think it's always awesome to highlight, but that was one that caught my eye of like, okay, I'm going to see what I'm doing and see if Greg Miller will let me sneak out of work for that. Paris, it's the end of the show. Anything you want to highlight before we go?
I'm nice, gonna tease something.
Easy week. Oh, okay, tease it.
So, I'm playing Redacted.
Oh,
and Redacted is coming from a studio well known to the Xbox community, and this game will be on Xbox.
Okay,
it's pretty dope.
Oh,
I can't wait until it's officially revealed, and we can talk about it because soonish we should be able to talk about it. It's pretty good.
Okay,
it's pretty good. Pretty good. So little teeny tiny teaser that some good games are on the way. So be excited.
XCast listeners, you heard it here. Paris gave you a little teaser. It's good. We'll talk about whatever it is whenever he's ready to talk about it. But until then, this has been another episode of the Kind of Funny XCast. Each and every week, we talk about Xbox with all of you, the incredible Kind of Funny best friend community all around the globe. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for chatting with us. Another fun news week. We'll be back next week to talk more. Until then, take care of yourselves, gamers. Goodbye.